Good morning, everyone, and welcome here. I hope you're blessed here today, and I want to greet you in Jesus' name. I feel like God is here today, and I think God is very interested in this service today. I don't feel like I have a very long sermon this morning. I'm pretty good at them short sermons. Y'all figured that out by now. But the message of salvation is simple. And I guess simple people can have simple messages. Turn with me to 1 Peter 2, verse 24. First Peter 2, verse 24 says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." The songwriter says that he left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. Y'all can pray for me this morning. I'm afraid I might be too emotional, and I never really liked a preacher to do a lot of emotional all the time. So pray for me if you will. We're here this morning not to celebrate, but to contemplate an old, old story. A story of suffering and shame. Cruel treatment and death to a man that didn't deserve it, for people that don't deserve it. A story that could have been much different without love in a capacity we don't have the ability to understand. The memory of this old story is easy to fade in our minds, and yet it's not really an old story. It just happened a long time ago. No update has been needed for this story. It will always be up to date. Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean, and it always will. Let's turn to John 6, verse 38. John 6, verse 38 through 40. "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And the commentary for verse 39 in my Bible says that Jesus said he would not lose even one person that the Father had given him. Thus, anyone who makes a sincere commitment to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior is secure in God's promises of eternal life. Christ will not let his people be overcome by Satan and lose their salvation. You can read in Revelations How beautiful that heaven is. And to think that God sent his son, Jesus, and that Jesus was willing to leave this beautiful place with no grief or pain or sorrow or tears. And come to earth. And you know, I was thinking about 12 years ago, last month, when Reagan got kicked by the horse, and I was thinking back on that, and it tore me up real bad. And it bothered me at the time that I didn't have more peace about it. I wanted, if there was anything I could have done to keep that from happening, I would have done it. It's like there's nothing you won't do to help protect your children. That's just the way it is with our children. And yet God was willing to ask Jesus to come. And Jesus was willing to come. He was willing to come knowing he would face pain and sorrow. And the Bible tells us in John 11:35 that Jesus experienced tears. Who of us would have done this knowing most people would reject us? God and Jesus loved us enough to do this. There is only one reason man was able to inflict pain on Jesus. Only one reason that Jesus stayed on the cross waiting to die. In Matthew 26:53, it tells us that Jesus could just say the word. And I think he could have just thought the thought that he wanted, and over 72,000 angels would have came. And you can imagine with me, 72,000 angels drawing their swords. They were watching, and they were ready. They were waiting on Jesus' command. Can you imagine what Rome would have looked like? What would Rome have looked like if they would have been turned loose? Love is the only reason they weren't called. And we can't imagine that. And I don't think God would have even blamed Jesus if he would have called him. He gave Jesus that authority. And as a human, as parents to our children, if we'd have been in God's position, I think we would have sent him before it got too far. So we can't imagine this love. But Jesus seen those he knew then, and he's seen in the future to a church in Arkansas. where people need forgiven. And he stayed on the cross. Sometimes I go over to the east side of our house there. We got a window that looks out to the east. And I'll stand there and look out the window. And it ain't too good when I look at what's supposed to be my pasture out there and the brush. But if I look up at the skyline and the trees, there's something about that I find peace there. And I was there this morning looking and I was thinking about the past up to today, and I was thinking about the future and wondering about the future, because we don't know the future. And when I thought about what Jesus and God did. They did everything they needed to do. That no matter what is in our future, they've done what needs to be done to make it'll be okay. It doesn't matter what's in the future. It'll be all right. So let's remember God's great love for us today, and also, he's now in heaven, interceding for us. He's still working for us. It tells us that in Romans 8, verse 34. That's all I have today, so why don't we stand for prayer?